Our first reading is from Galatians 3. Three verses, 26 through 29. Galatians 3, verse 26. You're all sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Second reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 16. Beginning at verse 12. The Apostle Paul and Timothy and Silas and some other companions had just gone over to Philippi. And on the Sabbath there, in verse 13, we read that they went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who were gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. And then Paul and Silas were going about their business as missionaries, doing what they were called to do. And in that process, they healed this young girl of a spirit who was helping her masters earn a lot of money. And they were brought before the magistrates, sentenced, whipped, and thrown into jail. And after they'd been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison. And the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, don't harm yourself. We're all here. The jailer called for lights, rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. So far, reading from God's Word. We're also going to be reading from one of our confessions, the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 26 and 27. This is our teaching concerning baptism. The question is, how does baptism remind you and assure you that Christ's one sacrifice on the cross is for you personally? In this way is the answer. Christ instituted this outward washing and with it gave the promise that as surely as water washes away the dirt from the body, so certainly his blood and his spirit wash away my soul's impurity. In other words, all my sins. What does it mean to be washed with Christ's blood and spirit? To be washed with Christ's blood means that God, by grace, has forgiven my sins because of Christ's blood poured out for me in his sacrifice on the cross. To be washed with Christ's spirit means that the Holy Spirit has renewed me and set me apart to be a member of Christ, so that more and more I become dead to sin and increasingly live a holy and blameless life. Where does Christ promise that we are washed with his blood and spirit, as surely as we are washed with the water of baptism? In the institution of baptism, where he says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." This promise is repeated when Scripture calls baptism the washing of rebirth and the washing away of sins. Does this outward washing with water itself wash away sins? No. Only Jesus Christ's blood and the Holy Spirit cleanses us from sin. Why then does the Holy Spirit call baptism the washing of rebirth and the washing away of sins? God has good reason for these words. He wants to teach us that the blood and Spirit of Christ wash away our sins, just as water washes away dirt from our bodies. But more important, he wants to assure us by this divine pledge and sign that the washing away of our sins spiritually is as real as physical washing with water. Should infants too then be baptized? Yes. Infants as well as adults are in God's covenant and are his people. They no less than adults are promised the forgiveness of sin through Christ's blood and the Holy Spirit who produces faith. Therefore, by baptism, the mark of the covenant, infants should be received into the Christian church and should be distinguished from the children of unbelievers. This was done in the old baptism by circumcision, which was replaced in the new baptism, in the New Testament, by baptism. So I'm going to try something a little different this morning, just so you know. This is a teaching message on baptism, so it's a little different kind. And so there's going to be PowerPoint, so that's a learning curve for Matthew and I, how that's going to go. And for those of you who are note takers, you might appreciate this kind of message, because there are 3 points, like a good Reformed sermon. And maybe I'll remember to tell you when there's 1, 2, and 3. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we already celebrated the sacrament of baptism as it was administered to little Esther Hosinga. It's good to participate in and witness baptism because it reminds you and me again of what our amazing God has done and continues to do for not just Esther, but each one of us. Baptism is a sacrament through which we experience God's grace with our senses. We see the water. And if we stand close, we can hear the water as it's splashing in the bowl. Esther and I, and even Arian a little bit, have felt the water. God uses baptism to reveal his grace to us. By the symbolism of water washing away dirt, we're reminded and assured of God washing away our sin through the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. In this sacrament, those who are baptized are reminded that God graciously includes us in his covenant. Baptism is not something we do because of tradition or on account of our thinking that it's the right thing to do, or because we think that our children will be saved by their being baptized. Rather, it's a sign and a seal which shows and secures our relationship with Jesus Christ, setting us apart in this world as people who belong to God. In this sacrament, we see God's grace extended to his people. We are to take our baptism seriously, and the baptism of our children seriously, because of the promises of God in it, because of the teaching of his word symbolized in it, and because of the vows we make in response to the covenant God has made with us. So the first point is that of the promises of God. Our baptism reminds and assures you and me of God's promise-filled relationship with us. In Genesis 17, we read that God came to Abraham and he said to him that he would initiate a covenant relationship with him. God said that he would make Abraham the father of many nations. Abraham would be a blessing to many people. He and his descendants would receive the land of Canaan as their inheritance. God would be their God, and they would be his people. This is what God promised. For their part in the covenant relationship, Abraham and his family were to obey and follow God. This covenant was renewed with the people of Israel throughout Old Testament history over and over again with succeeding generations. And even though the Israelites were not always faithful to their vows to worship and serve only the Lord God, God remained faithful to his promises. And then one day God declared to the prophet Jeremiah that the time was coming when he would forgive the wickedness of his people. He would remember their sins no more. He would put his law in the minds of his people, and he would write it on their hearts. And at that time, they would all know him, from the least of them to the greatest. What a promise! What good news for people living under the burden of their sin. This promise was fulfilled in our Lord Jesus Christ when he paid for the sins of believers on the cross. In Jesus, God promises peace and forgiveness of sin. He promises a newness of life. Those who follow Jesus would know his forgiving love. And later, after Jesus ascended into heaven, the apostles also spoke of the gift of the promised Holy Spirit. He would be given to those who repent of their sin and who would believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he would also be given to their children. Those who remain firm in the faith are promised to reign with Christ throughout eternity. These are the promises of the covenant God makes with his people. They were for Abraham, for all his descendants. And centuries later, others were added to this covenant relationship. We just read of Lydia, the seller of purple, and the unnamed jailer who heard the gospel message that these promises were also for them. Believing in Jesus, they both were baptized. But not just them. Their entire households were baptized. All of them received the sign that they had become children of God. They, their children, those who were working with them. They received the sign that they were now people who belonged to God, that God was their God, and that he had saved them through their son Jesus. And those same covenant promises remain in effect for you and me today. In baptism, God comes to us, and he gives us his promise that he will be our God, and that you and I and everyone in this world who believes in Jesus will be his people. When you and I stop to consider the promises that God gives to us as his people, we're amazed at their content. We stand in awe of the grace given to us. For we are a sinful people. You and I are not worthy of these promises because, like the Israelites of the Old Testament, we're not always faithful to God. We do not keep our end of the covenant as God does. Yet, God assures us through our baptism that all of his promises are for those who love him and serve him in faith. As children of God, you and I have been forgiven our sin through faith in Jesus. As children of God, we have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. As children of God, we possess the promise of life with Christ eternally. God said so. And he seals these promises in us. He pledges his goodwill and his grace towards us. And he also nourishes and sustains our faith. Second main point for you note takers. You and I are to take baptism seriously because of the teaching of God's word symbolized in this sacrament. The water we use in baptism teaches us that just as the water cleanses the dirt and grime of daily living off of our bodies, so in similar fashion the blood of Jesus shed on the cross washes away all our sins. Every last one. Sometimes we doubt that, but it's every last sin is washed away. If we were to have a large tank of water up here to use for our baptism, or if we went to one of our beautiful beaches in the summertime, the symbolism of dying to sin and rising to Christ would be much easier to understand. Because as the baptized person goes down into the water, the teaching is that sin is dead and buried with Christ. And as that baptized person comes back up out of the water, the teaching is that they are raised to new life in and with Christ Jesus. The Apostle Peter said it this way in his first letter, chapter 3. The water symbolizes baptism, and baptism signifies being saved by the death and resurrection of Jesus. Baptism reminds and assures you and me that God has adopted us as his sons and daughters through Jesus. Because we believe in Jesus, we become the spiritual descendants of Abraham and heirs to all of the promises of God. That's what the text from Galatians 3 tells us. We're all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, and you are an heir according to the promise. Baptism also teaches us that the Holy Spirit will be at work in us, that he's constantly renewing us, and that he's working in us so that we can grow in our faith. He is at work enabling and equipping us to live new lives in Jesus. He enables and equips us to live lives of holiness, to live lives which honor and glorify God. Third, in baptism, our Lord says something to us and we respond. As Abraham was called to obedience and discipleship for his part in the covenant relationship, you and I have our responsibilities in this covenant as well. First of all, we need to recognize that we're sinners, that each of us needs to live under God's grace. We're to humble ourselves before him. We're to ask for forgiveness in Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit is at work in us, renewing us to become more like Christ, because he is at work in us, making us holy and setting us apart as the body of Christ in this world, you and I are then to live out this newness of life every day as is fitting for sons and daughters of God. We are to dedicate ourselves to live life, to live thankful, grateful lives for the glory of God. It means that Esther and you and I and all who are baptized are to become more like Jesus every day, loving God with our entire being and loving our neighbors the way we love ourselves. Earlier in the service, we heard Arian and Heather affirm their faith in Jesus Christ and accept the promises of God for their family. And in their vows, they renewed their commitment to live in joyful obedience to God and his word. They acknowledged that Esther has been given to them by God. They promised to do all in their power to raise her to know and love God in response to God's love for her. They vowed to show by their lives what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. It will take Arian and Heather the rest of their lives to fulfill those commitments. And as a congregation, as part of the body of Christ, you and I promise this morning to receive Esther in love, to pray for her, to help instruct her in the faith, to encourage and sustain her in the fellowship of believers. And this also will take us a lifetime to fulfill. Scripture teaches us that we are to pray for each other, to encourage one another in the faith, to teach and instruct one another in the Word of God, to help one another. Scripture teaches us that we are to comfort those who are in need. We read over and over again that we're to love one another out of our love for God. And we have said that we will do these things, God helping us. Those being baptized also have responsibilities and commitments to fulfill. Looking around at who's here this morning, I venture to say that a good many of us were infants like Esther when we were baptized. When our parents and congregations made the promises we just mentioned. But just because we were infants at the time doesn't mean that we didn't have any responsibilities in the covenant relationship. We were baptized because we were children of believers and therefore members of the covenant which God makes with his people. Just like all the members of Lydia's and the unnamed jailer's households. As children of the covenant, our responsibility is to learn by our parents' example and instruction how to be disciples of Christ ourselves. How many of you saw Heather's Facebook post this week of Aryan introducing Esther to the cows? How many of you saw that? Yeah, a number of you saw that? The way I understood that picture, Aryan was teaching her, he was showing her a glimpse of her reality now and her future of being a farmer's daughter. In much the same fashion, we are to teach our children about how much Jesus loves them, to teach our children of their reality now and their future as a daughter and son of the Most High God. From a very young age on, we learn through Bible stories what it means to be and to live as children of God. We learn at home from the teaching and example of our parents. We learn in junior Sunday school, Kids Connect, catechism classes, new members classes, GEMS, cadets, youth group, Bible studies, our devotions. All these kinds of things we learn about God's tremendous love for us. And we learn that he calls each one of us to love him in response and to love one another. God is to be our God. Each one of us is to live as is fitting for those graciously called to be his children. And as we mature in age and faith, we're called by God and we are enabled by the Holy Spirit to increase our commitment to live in response to God's grace. To accept that Jesus died so that we might have life now and for eternity. One day, baby Esther will come to the point in her life when she will be ready to acknowledge that she is a child of God and that she will live according to her own decision, guided by the Holy Spirit, as a child of God. As people of the Reformed tradition, we strongly believe in the covenant. We believe that God will fulfill his promises, which he has made to those he has called to be his people, to those who believe in his Son, Jesus, that he will fulfill those promises just as he did with Abraham and his descendants. We also believe that we are responsible to fulfill our vows in the covenant God has made with us in our baptism. Some people see baptism as a rite that anyone can participate in. But the reality is, it is only for those believing, it's only by believing in Jesus that baptism means anything. Baptism signifies and seals the truth that our sin is washed away by the blood of Jesus shed on the cross. Knowing forgiveness in Jesus, we respond then with joy, determining to live according to the will of God by the power of the Holy Spirit, acknowledging that he has called us to be part of his covenant family, that we're called to give praise to him in whatever we do and wherever we are. In response to God's saving grace, as witnessed again this morning in the sacrament of baptism, and as we'll celebrate in a few moments in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, May the desire of our hearts always be to serve the Lord, loving Him, loving one another. For that is our joyful response. Amen.